G7, number 8B.
When we are ready to think in categories and system, 12th chapter, then we are really catapulted, can you say that? Catapulted into infinitude. Because then comes the key to the scripture with Genesis. And Genesis says, you know, you will experience that you will always go higher and higher and higher. You get Genesis, the first record of creation, and that first record of creation is constantly telling us about a dozen and a half times within 20 pages, showing always that you go higher and higher. And in order to impress your thought of this higher and higher, I just read quotes out of it, only pinpointing out of it what that first record of creation says. It is saying that this creation consists of the unfolding of spiritual ideas and their identities. These ideas range from the infinitesimal to the infinitude. That spirituality gets clearer views of God. That they are forming each successive stage of progress. Can you hear? Each successive stage of progress. It shows that there is paradigm after paradigm after paradigm. That's the stages. They are not just expansion of consciousness. They are rising consciousness to higher levels. The intelligent individual idea is rising from the lesser to the greater, from the lesser to the greater. If we have a little understanding, then if we have the 12th chapter, if we have the 14th chapter, recapitulation as system, then within us is a system which can be used for the 15th chapter, namely that it rises from the lesser to the greater, which is that it becomes more and more complex, that becomes finer and finer and finer, that the net of the system becomes finer and finer, so that there is always a rising higher and higher in infinitude. It is the rarefaction of thought as it rises and ascends higher. The periods, he speaks of the periods of spiritual ascension. Periods, periods, periods. Periods are paradigm shifts. We have the period of Newton, we have the period of Einstein. These are new periods where the old is no more seen as totally valid. Where something new has to be seen, where a completely new form of consciousness is necessary to see the higher thing. So he speaks about the advancing spiritual footsteps that lead on to spiritual spheres and exalted beings. See, even that, to exalted beings, until finally we know ourselves spiritually and scientifically. That will be the climax of it. So that mind's infinite ideas climb the height of holiness. Can you hear out of these few words that whole part in Genesis that speaks about the first record of creation is just showing us that if we have within ourselves recapitulation, the chapter before, recapitulation, a structured consciousness, a consciousness that can think in categories instead of in atomistic truth, that the moment we have a system within ourselves, then the divine idea can sound through that system and constantly rearrange that system, constantly elevate that system, arise the system higher and higher and higher. That's why then it is possible that suddenly we see a paradigm shift within our consciousness. And without paradigm shifts within our consciousness, science gets lost. Will fade out with, as time goes on. It fades out. And so we have to be aware that we are at the critical point in Christian science where we begin to see that Christian science fades out. The world does no more take notice of Christian science. Does not even know it anymore. I remember as a boy, Christian science was known in every village at home. Every village knew about Christian science because there were the healings, there were real good Christian scientists there that really put their whole weight into the idea of Christian science. Today, even in big towns, most people don't know anything about the term Christian science. They don't know what that is. They think it's Scientology or something like that. But they don't know it anymore. It's on the way out. But it shouldn't be on the way out. It should be on the way in. And the way that what we can do in order that it is on the way in is to see that that Christian science is a science and not just some nice aphorisms. Some nice aphorisms that you can also read in the Eastern literature, that you can read in every religious cult in their little pamphlets. These are statements that you can find everywhere. Until we are really on the way that we can think in categories, in the categories of the world, in the categories of Christ and of Christianity and of science, that we can think in the categories of the seven synonymous terms and on the levels. Until we can do that, there is no net within us, no, you know what I mean with a net within us, there is no system within us. See, through which really the divine idea can sound through. If it sounds through a system, it's always ordered. It's always according to law. If there is no system, it doesn't sound through order and law. It sounds through atomistic ideas and they get lost. And that's why we have to ask constantly questions. It's difficult to explain it, but somehow I think I can convey the atmosphere of it. So actually only when we come to that recapitulation, we begin to touch science as a science. If we do that, then Genesis begins to use that system and can use it in all different ways and shapes and means. Think of it. You know, for instance, the 7 days of creation. That is an order, a definite order. Therefore, we can say to those 7 days of creation, they form a law, because order is heaven's first law. The moment something is ordered, we can state a law about that order. So we have the 7 days as a creative order, the order which is the law of creativity. Every time we have to have a creative sense, we can fall back to the order of the seven synonymous terms and see it is a law. But we have not only seen those 7 days as 7 days. Dolly came and said, look here, every day has subtones. It says mind, the first day has mind as mind, mind as spirit, mind as soul. So you begin to see the system becomes more complex, finer. So the second day has subtones, the third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh day has subtones. And you begin to see the finer net. Then, after a while, John Dolly came along and said, you know, those 7 days you can only also view as four sides of the holy city. You can see very well that from mind as mind until soul as spirit, there is a word tone in it. then it changes, and from soul to soul up to life spirit, you have the Christ tone in it. Then from life soul to in the sixth day to truth as principle, you have the third tone, the Christianity tone. And from there on, you have the science tone, because there is no more creative activity in it. Everything is made, and God rests, and therefore is no more creativity in it. So he could see a four running through it, through the same text. Then he would come one day and would say, you know, the sixth day of creation has the diagonal of the matrix in it. Whatever you know about the diagonal of the matrix, it doesn't matter, but you can see a further, finer net has been spun. Can you say that? Yeah? So the complexity grows and grows within the same text by seeing more and more categories in it. Then after that he came along in 49 and said, look here, every day of creation you can see from the point of view of absolute Christian science as life, truth and love. Every day of creation you can see that it says, let there be, and then that's life, let there be, the impulsion of life. Then God made it, became factual, that truth. So you have already life, truth, and then it ended up, and God made, not only made it, but he finished it, and saw that it was good, love. So you have in each day of creation also another category coming in, namely life, truth, and love from an absolute standpoint. You see, within a very short exposition of 7 days of creation that only takes about, how much does it take? About 18 pages in the textbook. You can have quite a complex system in it. Not just reading linearly constantly. The Christian Science reads it linearly constantly. Yes, the first day. Yes, the second day. Yes, the third day. But that's not what is science in it. That's atomistic thinking. Just putting one day to the next day to the next day, mostly not even knowing what is the next day, because there is no, for them, there is no order in their consciousness. But the moment there is order in our consciousness, we know exactly what is the first day and what is the second or the third or the fourth or the fifth and the sixth, because we know the tonality of it. We haven't learned it by heart, but we know the tonality of it. And we know the tonality of the word order in it. And that word order is a law that cannot be changed. You cannot start with the fourth day and then with the second day and then with the seventh day and then take the first day and then the sixth day. You can't do that. That's no order. That's just arranging things, but not order. So the moment we have a system within our consciousness, then that system can be elaborated. That's what she meant from the infinitesimal to the infinite. That's what she meant, that we rise higher and higher and higher. I can call it the complexity gets bigger and bigger and bigger, finer, finer and finer. Without that, you learn it by heart. You just have to use your numerals. Yes? Okay. So we see, we get to the key of the Bible and of science and health. We really get to the system that can be restructured. You see that the 7 days of creation have the word order. That's definite. You can't put the 7 days of creation in the Christ order. You just can't do that. That's what, you can't put it into the Christianity order, nor into the science order. Why can't you do that? Because the story that is told is a creative activity. It shows the law of creativity from a beginning, from a cause to an effect to an end. That's the word. That's not the Christ, that's not Christianity, that's not science. So nobody can come along and say, I can put any old order into those 7 days of creation. You can't. You can only put them there which are congruent to the system, which are adapted to the system, not others. Yeah? So that's what we have to learn. See, that's why since a long time we talk about categorical thinking, that we think in categories. And it seems to be a very difficult thing for most students to know what it means to think in categories. Well, and I can't give it to you. I can only tell you what the categories are, and then you go along those categories. And then you are cultured in those categories. So if I read Mrs. Eddy's book, or if I read the Bible, I don't read it verbally. I don't read it literally. I don't read it sentence by sentence. I don't read it. I listen to it. I listen to it. How do I listen to it? Not through my ears. I listen it through the system of Christian Science. Somehow the system of Christian Science, tonality-wise, is within our consciousness, and so it responds. Something in me responds to the text. And if the text tells me something in all kinds of symbols, if the text tells me, and the Lord came down and he tread on the mountains, and they tread on the mountains, and mountains were trodden flat. What is that? You see? You hear at once the Christ. The Lord comes down. That's the Christ. And what does the Christ do? It treads on the mountains so that the mountains get flat. Well, that's power. So I get the Christ as power, as mind. So within me, something responds, you see. It has a resonance. Can you see a resonance? Is that the term which you use in music? It resounds within me. It doesn't resound within me and I see the wonderful Swiss mountains and see how a Lord stands on that and treads it flat like... No, I hear tones of the system, of the system. Then you get to the deep structure of it. Yes? Getting to the deep structure of it, then something happens, namely the 16th chapter. That 16th chapter is the wonder of wonders. It's the wonder of wonders. It shows that if the 15th chapter is somehow tonality-wise within me alive, that 16th chapter shows me how my consciousness is being elevated, 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 elevated. It elevates me from the level of Christian Science to the level of absolute Christian Science. It elevates me to the level of divine science through all those three levels. So that we don't, that it is not so much a question that we learn the levels. It's something that the levels evolve within our consciousness. They evolve spiritually within ourselves. They can't help to evolve. And so we come to the 16th chapter, which will take us a longer time, or I want to take it more in detail, because one feels that here the subject comes to a climax, and to a climax that is most impressive and most practically practical as it is shown here. In order that we have a better overview, you perhaps take page 5 in the study material, where the 16th chapter is laid out in more detail, so that you can follow me much better if you have that in front of you and I tell you a little bit about that development of the science levels. So the 16th chapter shows us the development of the science levels. The development, which means they don't show us that we have to learn it. It shows how it develops within our consciousness, so that it becomes us. Mrs. Eddy takes in the chapter The Apocalypse, not the revelation of St. John. She only takes a few verses out of it, those pertinent as verses that relate really to the to Christian Science. So she begins with the level of Christian Science. You have that written out in bold letters on your page 5. And in that level of Christian Science, she presents us two big symbols, the angel and the woman. You have that on the left-hand side. Two symbolisms that show us, so to say, the becoming sense and the being sense of the level of Christian Science. First, the angel. And what does she say about the angel? Takes it from Revelation and says there was an angel with a little book open. Before it was closed, that book. A mighty angel came down from heaven. So we hear something that it is coming down from heaven, closed with a cloud. Well, if something is closed with a cloud, if we fly over America and have clouds, I don't see a thing. But I know America is underneath. Huh? I know it's there. But I can't see it properly. Here and there the clouds go away and I can see perhaps a mountain or I can see Mississippi or something like that. I see a little bit of it. Just a touch of it. That's the angel. The angel is close with a cloud. She doesn't start out by showing us the clarity, can you say clarity? Yes, the clear picture of Christian Science. She only indicates the angel closed with a cloud. A rainbow was on his head, the sevenfold aspect of that idea. His face as the sun. Let's remember that only the face was like a sun. His feet as pillars of fire. In his hand a little book open, that is Divine Science, the textbook, the right foot upon the sea and the left foot upon the earth, showing that it handles latent error and concrete error. Those are the 2 feet, that they handle latent error, error that has not yet come to the surface, but it's still already there, waiting just to come up on the surface. It's like a U-boat, it's there, but you can't see it yet. But one time it surfaces and you see it. So error has those 2 aspects, that it either latent or it is visible, it's concrete, you can hear it and see it. So we have first this wonderful symbol of the angel. It's symbolizing mostly our state of consciousness. That our state of consciousness is an angel state of consciousness that says, I know that all the good comes from God, from heaven, that is the source of all good. but it's close with a cloud. I actually don't know quite definitely what that good is. What really is the manifestation of the seven synonymous terms? I have perhaps a little concept what it is, but not the full concept, not the full tonality. I have perhaps an atomistic sense of the seven synonymous term, but not the tonality of it, the wholeness of it. It's a cloud. Though I know even a grain of Christian Science, those 2 feet can do wonders for it, so they can really handle latent error and can handle concrete error. I know that, though I don't know how. I don't know how yet. So that's the story that starts with the angel. Then comes the being sense of it, namely the woman.